Hello and welcome to Talking Arts here on the GBM Can. To our arts program, The Table. Tonight we're going to be talking to Caroline Murphy, who's just started doing a program here on the radio called A Strange Brew, but she also has an arts background and will be joining GBM Can as one of the members of the leadership team to help her advance projects here in the Blue Mountains Arts Projects. But before that, we have our regular end of month segment, In the Frame, put together by Jenny Ward, and she's interviewed a number of artists. So we'll do some promos, play some music, and then we'll get into the interviews from Jenny Ward on In the Frame.
This is Talking Arts, our weekly focus on a wide array of art forms hosted by the professor every Thursday from 6.
Are you struggling to save for your first home deposit? If you don't want to wait years to buy a home, Afford Assist can offer 1% deposit home loan. Its innovative deferred deposit solution makes it possible to secure a loan, buy with an initial part deposit, defer and pay the balance of the deposit without interest. A home loan with an Afford Assist deferred deposit can reduce mortgage stress by reducing the loan amount and thousands on interest payments. Call Anthony on 1-800-961-108 or visit affordassist.com and let us assist you to buy your first home.
It's important for us mob to take the time to relax and enjoy the journey. And with more than 365 destinations, New South Wales TrainLink can take you home. To reconnect with mob and breathe in your country, weave your way across our lands on board a train or coach and relax. Take it easy, while New South Wales TrainLink does the driving.
To find out more and book your next trip, search New South Wales TrainLink. We'll take you there, a New South Wales government program.
Anglicare's mobile community pantry food van will be at the Wentworth Falls Community Hub every second Friday, supplying low-cost groceries to help stretch your budget further, including free bread and pastries. The hub is located at the Holy Trinity Church at 17 Armstrong Street in Wentworth Falls. Enjoy a chat over coffee and register to receive a bag of groceries worth around $60 for only a $12 contribution between 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. If you need further assistance, please call 02 475 71516. The Anglicare's Mobile Pantry Community Food Vans are enthusiastically supported by Radio Blue Mountains 89.1 FM.
Samba de preto veio, samba de preto tudo. Mas que nada. Um samba como este é tão legal, você não vai querer que eu chegue no
Tonight we have a really interesting lineup of artists to chat with. Jane Canfield, one of the Blue Mountains' most beloved artists, has a busy life. She divides her time between renovating an 1800 sandstone inn west of the Blue Mountains and creating her marvellous paintings. She then delivers them to clients and galleries in her 1970s red combi van named Dot and caring for her much-loved dogs. Jane's work is currently on display at Blackheath Day Gallery. She's been painting most of her life and is currently working on a series based around Clarence and Dargan Dam near Lithgow. And it is this body of work that you can see at the Day Gallery in Blackheath. So, Jane, how did you first come into the art world?
Well, my dad was a painter, always wanted me to be an oil painter. And I remember Mum and Dad did it fairly tough when I was younger. I'm an only child, so it was just the three of us. But I remember thinking, yeah, I want to earn some more money. So I actually went into graphic design.
Oh, okay.
Which my dad poo-pooed a little bit, said that you'd never really, you know, be a true artist if you go into the commercial side of things. But that turned out, I'm sure that's not true. I don't think that's true. I know he was proud of me. And I think by being a graphic designer, it gave me a sense of composition. And it was literally 2 weeks after Dad passed away that I thought I'd try the oil paints again. I'd tried off and on. I was more drawing and doing printmaking and gouache. I use gouache a lot, which I still do now. But that's how it started, really. And my two uncles, I've got two uncles that are artists. And
so it's in the blood in a way, isn't
it? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, and apparently way, way back there was some great grandfather or something of my dad's that was an artist. I must look that up at some point and see, you know, if I can find more information out about
so
that.
How often do you paint?
Oh, every day.
You do?
Yeah,
do you?
Yeah, every day something. I do something, unless you've had a day in Sydney or you've gone somewhere else then. But I always still try to take a sketchbook with me or something so that I've always got something. If the urge strikes or you're sitting still for 5 minutes in, you know, in a cafe or in a car or something, you can do a little, yeah. And, in fact, sometimes in the car, if I'm not driving, I'll do some sketching. It's great fun. And just those quick 10-second, 20-second, really quick little sketches, it's amazing what can come out of that.
That's amazing. So what drives you when you get out of bed in the morning, apart from having a cup of tea and all the usuals, what drives you then to go to your studio and create?
I just look forward to it.
You what?
I look forward to
it.
You
do?
Yeah. It's something that there's nothing better than getting up and thinking, oh, great, I've got the full day in the studio tomorrow, no other disturbances. So, like a lot of artists, I suppose, the best time is, you know, when you just know that you've got whole days or even weeks ahead of you with no obvious interruptions. So you can actually get into the zone and you know, that's something I do struggle with because I've had people say to me, I've been involved with a lot of community stuff and in the past. So now I just try to concentrate on my work. And apart from a bit of gardening and walking the dogs and things like that, there's not much that disturbs me.
That's
so
wonderful,
great.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. You have a unique style. Like I know when I see a Jane.
Great.
So what is it about your painting that you enjoy the most?
I've spent many years plein air painting, so I love to be outside. And I think that set me up now with a good backbone for studio painting. But I still need to have seen something to be inspired by something, even if it's just a fleeting image in my head, a memory
really?
Of something, to paint. So it's rare that I would actually make something up as such. Although my landscapes, I tend to, they vary greatly from what I've seen as a general rule. But it's just seeing colours and shapes and the feel of where I've been.
That's what it looks like, actually.
Oh, good.
It's okay. Lovely.
Mm. Yeah. But if you were to take one of my paintings and I took you back to the vague area where I was inspired
you
from,
wouldn't see it.
You probably wouldn't see too much of it, with the exception of the ones at the moment that are at Day Gallery.
That's what I was just about to ask
is,
you
about. Dargan Dam and Clarence Dam, whatever it's called. It actually has a sign that says Dargan Dam, so I'm assuming that's the name of it. But it's on Dargan Creek, and it was dammed up many years ago. It looks like it was something to do with mining because
there's probably around that
old
area.
Equipment around. Mm. But it's beautiful, and just the rocks sticking up out of the water. There's cliffs sticking up out of the water, and they've really got a presence to them. So I've been really enjoying that. So if I get inspired by an area, I might go back a few times if I've got the opportunity to, and do some sketching, bit of painting, take some photographs just on my iPhone. But that's more of a memory jogger for colours or just a few basic shapes. I don't sort of look at it and try and work off it as such.
Now, you have a love of dogs, is it? One of your passions.
Yeah.
Do you paint them?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah,
tell me.
Yeah. I've done many doggy paintings. I've had many commissions for dogs and things like that. And generally I try to not – it's not as a – I mean, sometimes it's a portrait, I suppose, but – I prefer it when it's just more of a landscape with the animal in it.
Okay.
Or, I'll work off lots of different photographs of the dog because sometimes the dog
this
passed
is what I was
away.
Asking.
But, I it's hard because they move so fast unless they're actually sleeping or something. Mm. You can't actually – it's. I do draw them. I try to draw them as quickly as I can. But it's more, generally working off photographs or an amalgamation of photographs to try and get a particular feel for the.
Thank you. Mm. Great. Meantime, Lithgow's Gangan Gallery is hosting the Hands-on Clay Ceramics exhibition from March 28 until April 28. One of the very talented ceramicists on display is Greg Daly, whose works feature wonderful lustres and glazes. The Orange Regional Gallery is currently exhibiting part of Greg's own personal collection of 168 ceramic pieces. He has a total of 800 pieces in his collection, which he has amassed from around the world over the past 50 years. There are also a number of his own works on display. I spoke to Greg at his home in Cowra. Greg, what brought you to ceramics in the first place?
Well, Jenny, an interesting question there. I was about 13. We had to do French and Latin. And then the following year, because I'd failed everything, I had a choice between Latin, German and pottery.
And hey, guess which one you took?
No, I was told I was doing pottery. So for the next 4 years of my secondary education, or 5 years, I did ceramics. And I was able to, lucky enough, to embed ceramics even into my HSC years in the old, going back many years. It was never a separate thing, but I was able to incorporate some pieces in my final folio there. And then I went on to RMIT to do a diploma, and that's all you could do in those days. Now you can go up to become a PhD and do a doctorate.
In ceramics?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So it obviously sparked a passion.
Very much so. I was also very lucky that the teacher I had at the time was doing a course himself. And he took us, there was about eight of us, he took us to exhibitions and exhibitions of pretty serious people at the time. They're like, if you like, you sort of demigods of music or so. And you go along and you go, wow, because we were seeing some of the best at the time. And one in particular had a big impact on me. It was Harold Huon's retrospective at the National Gallery of Victoria. Now, that was back in 1966-67, and he was the first artist to be given a retrospective at the gallery, at the National Gallery of Victoria. And to walk into this huge exhibition space and to see a person's life work laid out had a huge impact upon me, yeah.
Mm. So what is it that captivates you about it? What excites you?
Ooh, it's like watching a sunset and you go, wow. You just have to, it holds you. Mm. It holds you there. Ceramics, it just felt right. The beautiful thing, if you've never thrown a pot before, the clay running through your hands, But also you're creating something in three dimension, mm-hmm. all this rapid prototype stuff. I can do it in quicker time. I can throw it quicker. Yes, I do appreciate 3D printing. But also it allows you to layer things. I mean, there's the glaze. There's the kilns that affect the outcome, the different clays. It just becomes an amazing world to indulge in some ways. I would use the word indulge in the sense that it allows giving yourself permission to explore a medium as it has no boundaries.
Mm, mm. So what is there a favourite type of object that you create?
Good question. When I was doing some teaching, I used to love teaching hand building outside what I do. I throw. I grew up throwing, so that is my main process.
Explain of throwing.
Throwing. Good question. Is actually putting a ball of clay on the wheel and actually forming it with your hands. So I love throwing bowls and I like vase forms and I like platters. Now, why those is because they are canvases for me for my glazes. But, you know, I love glaze and I'm known for glazes and surfaces, but you have to have a good form to put that on. You can't have a clumsy, you know, sagging vase. Mm. It needs to have a presence. It has to have a good positive growth line swelling out. And even just that top rim, does it flare out slowly or does it go in? All those little subtle differences, maybe just the finest movement of a quarter of an inch, oh, centimetre, half a centimetre, can make a difference to what that your eye does.
Now, glazes and lustres
yes.
are just absolutely divine. So tell me how, so the glaze comes first, the lustre comes second?
Oh, well, this is sort of the same thing. It's a glaze, but it's what I'm putting in the glaze. Now, into the glaze goes two particular materials that reduce and change. Now, reduction is when you starve the kiln of oxygen. So you're reducing it back. And with these ones, they're silver and copper. All right, I use things like cobalt to give blues, mm-hmm. irons to give browns, and chrome to give greens. There's a whole range of things. But basically, they don't change at the temperature I work at. These are all earthenware I'm working with now. For years, I did stoneware, which was 1280, 1300 degrees. And at that temperature, the ash out of your fireplace becomes a glaze, and the blue metal on the road can be crushed up and made into a glaze, into a rock glaze. Mm. But I'm working at a lower temperature because this effect does not happen at higher temperature.
Now, tell me, so you're exhibiting it in Gangang in Lithgow Shores.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about that. What you're putting in
there. Well, it's lovely. There's a conference at Golgong. A clay Golgong, which has been happening now for about 20 years, every 2-3 years. And there's about 500-600 people take over Golgong. Mm. There's camping and everything. And international potters come and Australian ones and they demonstrate and talk. It's a big event. So 10 out of 10 to Gangang Gallery say people are going to have to come up through Lithgow from Sydney on the way. So this will be there. So what they did was they bringing together ceramists from the region, the Central West. Right. So I think someone from Mudgee, there's around Lithgow, there's Bathurst, myself, Orange. I think there's about 12 of us. So, and from what, I don't know everyone, but from what the ones I've seen, it's going to be a great varied show and exploring clay in different directions. So you're not going to see the normal pottery exhibition.
Right.
There'll be functional, there'll be sculptural, there'll be some pieces challenging, you know, what you can do with clay.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you. Katoomba artist Penny Steele's work will be part of an exhibition titled Stranger Than Fiction at the Blue Mountains Gallery in Lawson, opening this Saturday, March the 2nd. Arts Blue Mountains Gallery was formerly a hardware shop and has been transformed into an intimate gallery space. The address is 9 Bonner Avenue, Lawson. Other artists include Lewis P. Morley, Marilyn Pride, and Fiona MacDonald, and it will run until March the 30th, which is Easter Saturday. While on the subject of Penny, her latest book, Ideal States and Sacred Places, features a wonderful body of work and would make the ideal present for any art lover. It's available from some local bookstores and Penny's website. Graphic artist Veronica Gilmer designed the book. So, Penny, you've got this beautiful book here, Ideal States and Sacred Places. First off, what does that mean?
It means different things to different people, but for me, I think it's just a culmination of a whole lot of ways of thinking and journeys. It's the works are totally from my imagination, but I think your imagination is fed by your experiences in life, and that's really what all that means.
And also, is that concept, is that what inspired the paintings that are in this?
Yes, it is, yes.
So, Veronica, you did the graphic design in this adorable book. So tell me about how, like, on one side there is an image of the painting and then on the other side there's a sketch. What's the correlation between them?
Originally we were going to put only the paintings,
mm-hmm.
and then we thought, well, the other side is blank, so it would be really nice to put Penny's drawings there. So Penny gave me a bunch of lovely sketchbooks that she carries around and has carried around over the years. I'm not sure how many she's got now, dozens maybe. And they're just wonderful. They're full of these beautiful line sketches that she does with a pen, like a little gel pen or whatever she happens to have with her at the time. And they're from France, from all over the place. And I sort of flicked through them and tried to kind of match them a little bit to the paintings. So they're nothing to do with the painting, really.
Right, so the paintings were taken from the sketch.
Yeah, so I'd see a little tower somewhere with little windows and I'd think, oh, well, that'll go well with that painting. And that was really the only way I was able to choose which one.
Mm.
They're just delightful, though, and I
think gorgeous.
They work really well.
Mm. Mm. Now, you've got another exhibition coming up. Tell me about it.
Yes, I have a place in a joint exhibition with Arts Blue Mountains with Carolyn Skinner. It's in Lawson, and there are four art pieces in there. But what's it called, Veronica?
It's called Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Wonderful name.
So yes, so she texted me and asked me if I'd be interested in being in a group show called Stranger Than Fiction. Particularly the works in Cloche.
Okay, right. Those, yes. Yeah.
And the paintings too. Stranger than fiction, aren't they? So I thought, well, that's a lovely idea.
Mm. So tell me the idea behind the Cloche. or which came first?
The Cloche. The Cloche came first. I started to just construct these little sculptures and I was wondering actually how to put them together. So I thought, it'd be lovely to find bell jars or cloche for them. And I went around all the antique shops and secondhand shops and I found a few. And then I had to, of course, make the pieces to fit
exactly
that. So the cloche came first. But that was great because some of them were really tall. I thought, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought
lots of really,
really tall pieces. Mm. It's lovely. Flags on the top of things. They're about intimate spaces, I think.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much. That's all for In the Frame tonight. Thank you for joining me.
This is Talking Arts, our weekly focus on a wide array of art forms hosted by the Professor every Thursday from 6.
Thank you. Tune in every Wednesday night from 6 to 8pm for Scattered Sounds with John Unicum. John plays truly original vinyl recordings and CDs from his amazing, extensive music collection. Some weeks it's Motown, some weeks it's Mozart. You never know exactly what music it's going to be, except that it's going to be good. It's well researched and presented with reverence. That's Scattered Sounds every Wednesday on RBM from 6 to 8pm.
Yeah, I got busted speeding. Drink driving.
I was caught texting while driving.
I wasn't wearing my seatbelt.
I copped a fine and 5 points.
I had to cop losing my license.
I copped a hefty fine.
So, if you speed...
Don't wear a seatbelt.
Text while driving.
Or drink and drive.
Take it from me. You can stop it or cop it.
A message from New South Wales
Government. From the Park Street Social here. Join us for a night of good vibes, great atmosphere and the finest house music the Blue Mountains has to offer as we celebrate our first year of events at the Baroque in Katoomba. Tickets are available through humanitix.com at a low price of $25. However, as RBM listeners, you get a special discount code. Just type in RBM20 in the promo code for a special discount. So come and join us and the most inclusive and best crowd in the mountains on the 9th of March at the Baroque in Katoomba.
Springwood Growers Market is a farmers and growers market that runs on the fourth Sunday of the month from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Springwood in the Blue Mountains. Parking is available, as is public transport to Springwood Station and then a brisk walk to the community hub. There is fast food available on site and public toilets. Open since 2015, Springwood Growers Market proudly hosts over 50 growers and producers. Blue Mountains Theatre and Community Hub is located at 104 to 108 Macquarie Road, Springwood. For inquiries, ring 0414 733 400.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome to Talking Arts. Well, welcome back to Talking Arts. After that slight break there and a couple of songs, we heard Janis Joplin and Tom Jones there doing Raise Your Hand, and that's from a 69 TV special. And they did a number of them from 68 to 70. They did a number of TV specials with Janis, and that particular one, of course, was with Tom Jones. And now on the show tonight on Talking Arts, we're going to have someone just as special, and that's Caroline Murphy. And is that okay to just say Murphy, or do you want to
use... Murphy's great.
Yep. And Caroline, of course, is a new presenter on Radio Blue Mountains and has her own show called Strange Brew. And we'll ask her about how that's been going. But, yeah, welcome to the show, Caroline.
Thank you, Brad. Lovely to be here.
And we've got Caroline on because Caroline has recently taken on joining the EGB in Cannes, the Greater Blue Mountains Creative Arts Network Committee, or Leadership Team, as it is now known. And so she's piled in to help us with some of our projects for this year, for 2024. So welcome aboard to EGB in Cannes. And welcome to the team, and hopefully there'll be lots of fun and excitement ahead in the arts community up here in the Blue Mountains.
It's very exciting, Brad. It's a great time to be part of it, so I'm really excited, yeah.
So we will ask you first about the show. You've only recently moved here to the Blue Mountains from over in the coast, where you were dealing with family issues, which we won't go into. I won't ask you about those, but basically to have a fresh start and start up in a new community, you moved over to the mountains. Are you living in Katoomba or somewhere nearby?
I'm in Lura. All right. Lovely Lura. And I'm sort of helping my mom at the moment, and it's helping me find my artistic roots, which I lost quite a while ago, and I'm rediscovering them now in the Blue Mountains.
Right.
So it's a very special time, actually. I feel very fortunate to be here.
You do actually have a bit of an arts background, so maybe that'd be a good idea first, is to fill us in on your arts background, where you come from.
Okay. Well, when I finished my HSC, I was top 10% in Australia for my art and my art history.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, I loved art. I hated math. I did okay in French, history, and art. The rest of it, forget it.
Right.
But my artwork was hung in the Art Gallery of New South Wales. I was very proud about that. And
so were you part of the exhibition, the thing that toured around?
Yeah, it was Art Express.
Art Express, yeah. So Art Express. Funnily enough, so was I.
Oh, well done, you.
Yeah, I was 81.
Oh, okay. We won't talk about
We won't talk about your year. I had the similar thing. I did 4 unit, and was selected for the Art Express and did really well on art and absolutely useless in everything else.
Well, yeah. So anyway, I went to London because I was going to go to New South Wales Uni, and I think it was Mac, and it was COFA. It was called COFA at
yes,
the time.
Yes, correct.
And transferred to. I had an option to go to the Courtauld or Chelsea School of Art.
Right.
But we were there in February and it didn't start. The terms don't start until September. So I did some short courses at Sotheby's and Inchbald School of Design. I was also modelling. I was also like half a goth punk and going down the King's Road and having photos taken.
Half a...
half and half.
What was the other half?
Style at the time. just think of big high hair and like lots of Art Nouveau makeup and anyway, it was a great time and it was fantastic. I mean, can you imagine, like, you're at school in Sydney until you're 18, you go to London and then suddenly, you know, you're on you're just discovering a whole new world.
No, of course.
And that was a little bit too much for my parents. I didn't last until August.
No, of course. Then you wander down the street and there's There's Malcolm and Sid and Chrissy Hine serving you in the shop, and you go, oh, I'll have one of those mini skirts. Thank you very much.
Well, it was great because all different societies mixed together, and it was, I mean, it was just the most, it really was an eye-opening, incredible time. Anyway, but so basically art is what I've always wanted to do, and it was always in the course of my life, it was always a part of it, but I never fully into it.
Right.
And the other thing was acting and film. I loved the idea of directing movies. So those two things, I was just, they were like while I was trying to earn an income and getting grounded roots, and which is probably really good for a creative person like me to have, to get some sort of grounded strategies and understanding that sort of fundamental structures of life, because I'm sure I would have been one of those purple balloons that's just going up in the air and maybe not knowing where she's going, or maybe not, who knows. But anyway, it's got me to where I am today, and I'm quite grateful. I've had a great life full of art, musicians, romantics, world travel, different experiences, very colourful, and yeah.
So tell us about a couple of the big things that happened when you came back to Australia, and there's the Vogue story. We want to hear that.
Yeah. I went to Berlin for a while, and my father was a lighting designer, and he I went to work in Berlin on a work practicum with a company called Licht, Kunst Licht, and they were all under 40, and they were helping re-illuminate Berlin, you know, Potsdamer Platz, sure. And the old East Germany, and they were so clever that I've never seen anything like that before. So clever with their design and right. thought, and you know, like little things like on the top of the Alte National Gallery, there was on the a fresco on the ceiling of clouds and little cherubs, right. And they had to try and work out with heritage buildings where to put the light fixtures,
oh, okay.
And they put it out of the palm of the hand of the cherubs, and to me, I thought that was coolest thing. And if you go into the Neue Wache, which is a building that has it's a memorial for all the fallen soldiers, and it's got goosebumps, but it's quite a very poignant
right.
Scene. You walk into this building and it's a sculpture of the mother with the fallen soldier, and you don't see any light fittings, they're all hidden,
right.
And I just, anyway, so that blew my mind.
But it's all brilliantly lit and dramatic.
Well, yes, but the point is that you don't see all those horrible...
No, the fittings, of course.
Fittings, yeah.
But the effect is still there, but they've hidden it, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, so I came back to Australia and I thought, well, that was amazing. What am I going to do now? And a friend called me up and said, well, there's a job at Vogue. Would you like to go, you know, Condé Nast? And I've always loved writing. That's the other thing, right. my favourite thing. And I said, oh, yeah. Anyway, so that just took me onto a whole new path. And, so I became started off as the social editor, which meant that I had to go to every opening, which I loved.
Oh, that's terrible. Caroline, how did you cope?
I know. I lived on champagne and canopies for 2 years.
Surely you get sick of garlands. Surely.
I had my time. I'm very grateful for that time. And it was at the right time, you know, like in the early 2000s. I think now it's a whole different story.
Right.
But, and then I became the beauty editor, which was like, I think a lot of girls would love that job. You know, you're in the glass corner office, you get fresh flowers delivered every day from some company, and you're getting taken off in limos to massages and treatments. And then you have to write stories about the top advertisers, and you just have to learn the muscle of the whole.
Right.
But
so it was like beauty products for.
Yeah, they were beauty products. But, you know, yeah. I was the first one to introduce chakras into Vogue, and, you know, some natural remedies like Tinderbox from WA.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if this means anything to you, Brad, but I was very proud that I could can put in some of these products.
No, I imagine at the time it was quite an innovation for them to be looking at naturopathic products and things, you know. So
yeah, Yeah. So really? I tried to get that sort of more spiritual side into things, and I did. So I'm quite proud of that. And then from there, I went on to, I was headhunted to work for Razor, and that was a magazine that was particularly just for Wella hair products. But the whole exercise about that was to rebrand the image of Wella, and that was international.
Right.
And they created this one magazine in Australia internationally.
But what I remember of Razor, though, is that there was also always a lot of cultural stories and a lot of things about music and celebrities and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was all part of it.
And it was in that tradition of realigning the different products and things like that with social trends and things like that, you know, like they did
with
the Face magazine and things like that. So.
Exactly.
Now, I remember Razor being quite a good magazine. It was quite interesting, even though, it was a fashion magazine and blah, blah, blah. But, I remember reading some good stories.
And then I freelanced because I wanted to write different stories, like the art scene in Berlin. I wrote a feature for Oyster and for Qantas, Where to Go. I enjoyed doing those travel and arts stories, but connecting, because I love pop culture. I love music, fashion, that travel.
That sort of name dropping, Karen. I remember a lot of Oyster magazine, reading Oyster magazine. And I was thinking that was another one that was ahead of the game, you know. So, No, very good, very good. Okay, so after all that, you've arrived in Katoomba. You've arrived at Radio Blue Mountains. So we're all now feeling a little small, Caroline, compared to your history. But you have shook things up a little bit since you arrived. And one of the things, of course, is your show, Strange Brew, which you're slowly, well, not really slowly, quickly getting a number of fans and people who are listening to the program. So well done there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, no, I'm finding my feet and I'm really enjoying it. And the most important thing is that I'm loving being able to be part of the community and involved with the community and giving whatever I can to the community. That's very important to me.
So as I said, you've been pushed into the limelight with GBM Can. So I'll apologise for that. Sorry about throwing you in there in the deep end. But, all props to you. You've been to your first first leadership meeting, and put your hand up for several things. I will advise that you don't, you watch where you put your hands up, because you put your hands up for too many things and people will actually want you to be involved.
Yes, so, I think my cup is full now.
But it's wonderful. And of course our current president, Barbara Lapani, shout out to Barbara, is delighted with you and Alana, who's also from the radio station, who does a show called Heart Matters on RBM. She's thought it was a wonderful thing for you guys to join, and has already gone off about some of the ideas that you've been having. So welcome aboard, and maybe thank give you. Us a little quick note on what you've noted so far at GBM Can and what you think you might be helping with.
Well, I'm particularly excited that it's creating an artistic network over the Greater Blue Mountains that goes from Lithgow to Penrith, and that it's bringing all the artists and creative people together in new ways that help the community celebrate what Bob Carr said was the creative capital of Australia.
Yeah.
The Blue Mountains.
City of the Arts, as they named it.
City of the Arts, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there is so, it is, I just find it a little bit sleepy. And it's nice to, you know, you don't want to put some jalapeno peppers on top of the community, but just like say, hey guys, let's do something magical.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate us. So I have been made the director of the creative arts content, working on the art book trail that will probably run at the end of August for one weekend, just the weekend before Father's Day.
Yep.
And that will go from, I think, from Glenbrook to Lithgow. And I'm just really excited to work with the bookshop artists, gallerists and cafes and maybe live music, and let's see what we can create. And
yeah, yeah. So we've got...
I've done events in the past too. We forgot about mentioning that.
But, oh, yes. Well, but you should.
Anyway, I don't need... Let's not talk about it. But anyway, I have done. So I know how to put two and two together when it comes to that, but how wonderful to do it on grassroots. I'm very excited.
Yeah. So we've got Zach from Rosie Revelston Books, who used to do a show on the radio here with his partner, and also Willem is going to be involved a bit, and everybody knows Willem from Retro Rehash, and so all those sort of factors put together will mean that we used to have a book trial for BM Camp before it became GBM Camp, and that was run every year for pre-COVID, but the idea is to revive that whole idea again, but maybe involve a few more places like cafes and other galleries and the bookshop, and and create a new version of it, but with the idea of traveling up and down the mountain and indulging in the culture.
I just found that there are so many in the short time that I've been here, and sort of the places that I've become frequent at, people are very open to doing something and being a part of something. It's great. So expect a phone call from me or a visit.
That's it.
Sometime in the next few weeks.
If you've got an open area in your shop or your gallery or your bookshop or even in your home studio, Caroline's going to be around.
Yeah, I am.
And convincing you to open it up on the August weekend.
I think we can do something really beautiful and cool. That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh, well, they used to be quite good, but as you say, people get a little bit worn out by them, and if the same people are doing them again and again each year, they soon wear themselves out. There is an amount of burnout up here with things like, say, the Winter Magic Festival. We just recently had a meeting about that. And, of course, there was a bunch of people who had gone along because they were involved in the past, but you could just tell that they were just worn out by it, and there needs to be fresh people. For all those sort of things up here, all the different festivals and events. And the council is quite keen to do it, but it really needs, a strong-minded person to run it. So welcome aboard, Caroline.
Thank you, Brad. Thanks so much. No, I'm very humbled to be part of it and to be asked, and I'm grateful and I'm excited. It's going to be amazing. But we'll see what comes out of it. And it's hard when you get tired, and sometimes you just got to shake the rug up, and or you just have to look at something in a new way, and it inspires you.
Okay, and. Thank you very much. I mean, we're all very excited, Caroline. Thank you for coming on the show.
Pleasure.
And I think at that point we'll play some music. Now, normally I ask people interviewees on air, but I did ask you previously. So Caroline has picked a few songs, a couple of which we've heard already. We've heard Sergio Mendez, and that was earlier on in the show, and then we heard. Heard Janice and Tom Jones there, but I think what the appropriate song to play now is the Nora Jones song that I've picked. Once you said you'd like to hear some Nora, and I think that is what I am to you, and I think that's appropriate because I think we're now thinking of Caroline as an arts saviour for the Blue Mountains to help us revitalise the culture up here in the Blue Mountains. City of the Arts.
Be cool and make me cry. It's so sweet.
But once again, thank you for coming on, and I do expect you to come on again as things progress.
Anytime.
Yeah, and good luck with the show, with Strange Brew, as I said, going well.
Yeah, it's fun.
I
love it.
I will always think of the first time I listened to your show, and of course you played Shriekback, one of my favourite bands. Nobody up here has ever played My Spine as the baseline, I don't think so.
So much more to look forward to, Brad.
Indeed.
So many more surprises.
My request is for next time to play some Gang of Four, of course.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes. Damaged Goods. I was going to ask you to play that, but okay, don't worry. We'll save that for next time.
We'll see if I may be able to play it before the end of the show, but we'll see how we go. But definitely next show.
All right.
Yep. Brilliant. Thank you, Caroline.
Okay, bye, Brad. Thank you.
He's Nora bye, Jones. Everybody. Nora Jones with What Am I to You? Thanks, Carol.
Bye.
As you can be, in deep the shade of blue. What am I?